Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Indeed we are. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Bill.
We are Bill and Allison Mancaro, sometimes known as the first couple of Texas Radio.
That's right.
It's not something we invented. The station did that for us. It was very nice. But we do have a trigger warning for you. We are non-binary. Non-binary, as is everyone at the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We are fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice,
and the American way.
And the American way. And we're not politically correct. In fact, we're proud of that. We are politically incorrect, but we most of all try to be biblically correct. Biblically correct. And we try to bookend our show with a verse, and this is from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I'll preface it by saying when I was a very young Christian, I didn't come to faith consciously come to faith in Christ until I was in my 20s, and had a lot of questions and read a lot of things. And this verse just jumped out at me when I was reading the Bible, and I didn't know it was a famous verse. I thought, wow, is that great? Because it's so deep. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. There's so much to unpack in that verse. I'm not going to do that, but just think about each one of those phrases. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not at your own understanding. Don't acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. So just spend some time meditating on that, praying about it. I think it would be a fine thing to do on a Saturday morning with Bill and Allison. This is Texas Independence Day, if you didn't know, March 2nd. It's a celebration of the adoption of the Texas Declaration of Independence on March 2nd, 1836. And we're going to be talking a little more about that a bit later in the show, the Lord willing. And what we had for you is the Old Farmer's Almanac. There's several Farmer's Almanacs, but this is the Old Farmer's Almanac. It's been published since 1792. And each year they have a proprietary system of predicting the weather for a year in advance or more for regions of the country. And their accuracy rate over the years has been 80%. 80%. So since it's the beginning of the month, we thought it would be appropriate to see what they're going to say about our region. It's a fairly large region. It's most of Texas and Oklahoma. But they split it up and they say, well, this will be in the north and this will be in the south, that kind of thing. So they're saying that our temperatures will be 1 degree above average in March, and our precipitation will be 2 inches above average in March. And this is the second. They say they'll be sunny and turning warm. I think we've noticed that, although not particularly today, but we have noticed that we've had some pretty warm days.
And it's going to get pretty warm today.
Mm-hmm. And they're predicting from March 8 to 15, rainy periods, some heavy, turning warmer. And then toward the middle of the month, more sunny, cool, then warm, then a few thunderstorms, then sunny, turning cool. So, you know, March in like a lion, what is it? In like a
lion and...
like a bear or... I don't know. See, we obviously don't rehearse this show, right?
About the weather. One way you can tell it's getting warmer, when we got up to get ready for the show, it was 36 degrees. So Bill packed, dressed for it.
Yeah, I dressed for it. I put an undershirt on, a heavy flannel shirt on, a sweater, and a heavy jacket. And I shed most of those things already.
We got to the studio, and it was 46.
Yeah, shed most of those things already. Anyway.
Okay, well, top news right now is the deadly wildfire in the Panhandle.
Where I am from?
Yeah, Bill is from there, and it's getting pretty close to where Bill is from.
It is the second largest fire in American history, biggest one in Texas ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the last I read, it was less than, what was it, 10%, 5% contained?
I think it was like less than 5% contained.
Horrible. That's horrible.
And there, it's expectations of a combination of dry air And a turbulent wind expected this weekend could make them a whole lot worse.
Yeah, well.
And there have been at least two deaths.
Yeah. One woman I read about from Amarillo was driving on the highway somewhere near Canadian, Texas, which is where, the epicenter of the fire, but that's main place where the fire is. And she apparently called or texted her sister and said the smoke was so bad in the car that she had to stop. She couldn't breathe. She said, I've got to stop and get out and get some fresh air. Well, it was no better outside either. And she was found on the highway and rushed to a hospital. And 2 days later, she died. So that was one of the deaths. Another was an elderly woman in her home who died from the fire. And thousands of cattle have died or will die, is what people said. So so those folks need our prayers, that's for sure.
Well, Bill had talked about elections. We're going to tell you who we are voting for. Well, I can tell you who Russian President Vladimir Putin is. Well, he's endorsing. He can't vote, but
he would be an illegal, so maybe he could vote.
Well, there you go. He has picked Joe Biden as the candidate he wants to win the 2024 presidential election because he calls the incumbent Democrat a more predictable person to work with.
More predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in other words, he knows if he invades Ukraine, Biden won't do much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not directly anyway. If he does some things, Biden's not going to do anything. The Chinese know that too. If they invade Taiwan, Biden won't do anything about it.
Yeah, Putin was asked in an interview on state-run television, who would be better for Moscow? Biden, he said. He's an old-school politician. Donald Trump said, I got along good with Putin, but he doesn't want to have me. He wants to have Biden because he's going to be given everything he wants, including Ukraine.
Yep.
The only president in the last 5 years that hasn't given Russia anything is Donald J. Trump.
Very true. Very true. Well, you probably recognize that song, and that's Glenn Miller's orchestra. And not only is that called In the Mood, not only is that a fabulous song, which is quite often played by our own Sentimental Journey Orchestra, and if you haven't heard them, they travel all around Hill Country, go out and see them, they're fantastic. But that's Glenn Miller. And the reason we're playing it, it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Glenn Miller. So, Glenn was very, very popular, most popular dance band of the 40s. And he entertained the troops. Recently, it was discovered how he and a number of his band members perished. They were over entertaining troops during World War II. They were flying over the British, English Channel, and their plane crashed. And for years, people thought that they were attacked by Nazi fighters, and that brought them down. Only recently, it's been discovered that no, in fact, flying above them were some British bombers, and they released, coming back from a soaring, and they released their payload, and because they, you do that when you're done, and you still have weight, and so they released it over the English Channel, and it hit Glenn Miller's plane. The bombs hit Glenn Miller's plane. So, very sadly, but it's not a sad story of his life, because he was a great band leader. Glenn Miller, happy birthday to Glenn. What you got, Allison?
Well, did you know? I'll bet you didn't know this. A ride-sharing company is offering restroom enthusiasts a four-hour tour of Tokyo's public toilets. Now, what? You might wonder why.
Yeah.
Japan's public restrooms have an international reputation for being clean and well-maintained, but apparently that wasn't good enough. In 2020, a city, Shibuya, and Nippon Foundation embarked on an initiative called Tokyo Toilet. They brought together some of the biggest names in architecture and designed to renovate 17 public restrooms all throughout Shibuya.
Shibuya.
Yeah, I have no idea how to pronounce it. Now that all of them are complete, a new tour promises an in-depth exploration into the crossroads of public hygiene and architecture.
What? And they get people to sign up for this?
I think we should book our next vacation to go there.
Yeah, okay, okay. Well, on a serious note, a lot of people aren't trusting scientific research much anymore after the plandemic of COVID and Fauci's lies. Top cancer researchers at Harvard have been accused of scientific fraud, deliberate fraud, affecting 37 studies. They're also accused of manipulating data images with simple methods such as copy and paste in Adobe Photoshop. Hmm? Yeah. An affiliate of Harvard Medical School called the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute is retracting 6 scientific studies and seeking to correct 31 others that were published by its top researchers, including Harvard's hospital CEO. Moreover, all 4 of the top researchers have faculty appointments at Harvard Medical School. And this comes on the heels, as you no doubt know, that Claudine Gay, who was the president of Harvard University, testified before Congress that she said that anti-Semitism and attacks on Jewish students were, she didn't know if that would be a bad thing or not, basically, is what she testified to, she was just not sure. So when they found out that she was a plagiarist, a serial plagiarist, by the way, she was fired from being, of course, she still maintains her, what is it, several $100,000 a year salary, and I don't know, she's still on the faculty. And she'll get a pension, you know, so she'll be just fine. So you don't have to worry about Claudine Gay. But she, of course, said she was fired because she was black and lesbian. And no, she was hired because she was black and lesbian. Gee. man. So that's our story on that one. And I thought you would find that of particular interest today. So we travel on. What do we think about, what have we got here? I don't want to get into anything super long, Allison, because I never know when you're going to signal me. That's, Allison is our engineer here, and she runs the show. She talks, I talk, but she turns on the mics and turns off the mics and keeps track of the time and when we need to take a break and all that. So I've got to ask her sometimes where we are and how much time I have to talk. I don't do that at home, by the way. I do not ask her how much time I have to talk. But one time on our show, not too long ago, I think she had a cold or something. She wasn't talking much. And I said on the air, I said, Allison, you need to talk more. And then I realized that in all the history of mankind, that is probably the first time a husband said to his wife, you need to talk more.
Do you want to hear from Buddy Brown?
Absolutely. Buddy Brown, the great Buddy Brown. We love Buddy Brown here at the Bill and Allison Show.
Yes, we do.
Coca-Cola, I have written a brand new song for you called Be Less White. That's right. The pamphlet that's going around Coca-Cola to all their employees right now, if you hadn't been paying attention, is how to be less white. All the reasons white people are bad. You know, at some point, I'm just like, damn. The hatred is real. Can you imagine if we released a pamphlet called Be Less Black? Can you imagine if Coca-Cola did that? What would happen? Y'all, I'm from Mississippi. I don't care who you are, what walk of life you come from. You come down here and have a beer with me anytime. But this is getting comical. It's getting ridiculous. At a certain point, I think in America, we just need to be less stupid. That's what we need to be. Hope y'all like this song. Be proud of who you are, no matter where you came from. In the meantime, we need to be less white. Coca-Cola's done lost their dadgum minds. Yeah, the white guilt's hitting pretty hard this time. I thought I'd seen it all, but as it turns out, I have to change my skin to live this one down. We gotta be less white, be less white. These liberals gone wild and they lost their minds. We gotta be less white, be less white. Now I'm switching to Pepsi and it's all alright. Said to be less white is to be less oppressive, be less certain and less defensive, be less arrogant, try to actually listen. Well, Coke ain't getting served in my kitchen. Be less white, hell, be less white. These liberals gone wild and they lost their minds. We gotta be less white, be less white. Now I'm switching to Pepsi and it's all alright. Well, I got something for your little online training class. Take your little pamphlet and stick it right back up your ass. While I try to be less white, be less white. It's liberals gone wild and they lost their minds. We gotta be less white, be less white. Now I'm switching to Pepsi and it's all alright. God bless y'all. That might even end up being the new theme song over at Pepsi. I don't think the boys at Coca-Cola are going to like it much, but over at Pepsi, you can have it if you want it.
Okay.
Well, today is Texas Independence Day, the celebration of the adoption of the Texas Declaration of Independence on March 2nd, 1836. With this document signed by 59 delegate settlers in Mexican Texas, officially declared independence from Mexico, and created the Republic of Texas. And Alice and I want to tell you a little about the Texas Declaration of Independence. It was produced literally overnight. Its urgency was important as the Alamo was currently under siege by Santa Anna's Army of Mexico. The Texas Declaration of Independence somewhat parallels the United States Declaration of Independence, signed almost 60 years earlier. It contains statements on the function and responsibility of government, followed by a list of grievances. Finally, it concludes by declaring Texas a free and independent republic from Mexico. And here are some excerpts. When you hear this, written almost 200 years ago, you cannot help but think of the United States today. Here are some excerpts from the Texas Declaration of Independence. When a government has ceased to protect the lives, liberty, and property of the people from whom its legitimate powers are derived, and for the advancement of whose happiness it was instituted, and so far from being a guarantee for the enjoyment of those inestimable and inalienable rights, becomes an instrument in the hands of evil rulers for their oppression, when the federal Republican constitution of their country, which they have sworn to support, no longer has a substantial existence, and the whole nature of their government has been forcibly changed without their consent, when long after the spirit of the constitution has departed, even the semblance of freedom is removed, and so far from people's petitions and remonstrances being regarded, the agents who bear them are thrown into dungeons. Think of January 6th. When in consequence of such acts of malfeasance and abdication on the part of the government, anarchy prevails and civil society is dissolved into its original elements. In such a crisis, the first law of nature, the right of self-preservation, the inherent and inalienable rights of the people to appeal to first principles and take their political affairs into their own hands in extreme cases, enjoins it as a right toward themselves and a sacred obligation to their posterity to abolish such government and to create another in its stead, calculated to rescue them from impending dangers and to secure their future welfare in happiness. Again, we're reading excerpts from the Texas Declaration of Independence, since today is Texas Independence Day. Just a few more statements from the Texas Declaration of Independence. The government has failed and refused to secure on a firm basis the right of trial by jury. That, think of, again, January 6th prisoners. They spent years imprisoned, many without a trial. That palladium of civil liberty and only guarantee, safe guarantee for the life, liberty, and property of the citizen is the right of trial by jury. The government has demanded us to deliver up our arms, which are essential to our defense, the rightful property of free men and formidable only to tyrannical governments. It has invaded our country, both by sea and land, with intent to lay waste our territory and drive us from our homes, carrying on us against us a war of extermination. It has continually exhibited every characteristic of a weak, corrupt, and tyrannical government. These and other grievances were patiently borne by the people of Texas until they reached that point at which forbearance ceases to be a virtue. The necessity of self-preservation, therefore, now decrees our eternal political separation. Finally, from the Texas Declaration of Independence, we, therefore, the delegates with plenary powers of the people of Texas, in solemn convention assembled, appealing to a candid world for the necessities of our condition, do hereby resolve and declare that our political connection with the Mexican nation has forever ended, and that the people of Texas do now constitute it a free, sovereign, and independent republic, and are fully invested with all the rights and attributes which properly belong to independent nations, and conscious of the rectitude of our intentions, we fearlessly and confidently commit the issue to the decision of the supreme arbiter of the destinies of nations. Again, that was excerpts from the Texas Declaration of Independence of March 2nd, 1836. With that document signed by 59 delegates, settlers in Mexican Texas officially declared independence from Mexico and created the Republic of Texas on March 2nd, 1836. All right. Yellow Rose of Texas, the unofficial state song of Texas. Historically been connected with Texas, of course. But a little backstory on who the Yellow Rose was. Do you know Allison?
I do.
Yeah. During a battle, I think it was San Jacinto.
I believe so.
The reason that we won, the Texicans won, is because we attacked the Mexicans when they weren't expecting it, and Santa Anna was in his tent with his favorite paramour, a.k.a. prostitute, and she was called the Yellow Rose. That was her nickname. And so there's a little backstory to the Yellow Rose of Texas there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, you are welcome. What you got, Allison?
Well, okay. A little quiz for you.
Oh, man.
This is a tough one.
They're all tough.
Okay, below is a list of places around the world that share a specific thing in common. What ties them together? La Brea Tar Pits, Sahara Desert, Minnehaha Falls, Lake Tahoe, Mississippi River, Milky Way Galaxy.
Well, I, until you got to Milky Way Galaxy, I thought I had the answer. I was going to say a repository of dinosaur bones. But Milky Way Galaxy really threw me.
Okay.
Oh, they're all in the Milky Way Galaxy. Ha!
Yeah, I suppose. Okay.
I don't know the answer.
Okay, I figured you wouldn't. Okay. These are all tautological place names.
Oh, that's of course. I mean, it was so obvious. They're what is it? Tautological.
Tautological.
Yeah, I mean, that was so obvious. I didn't even need to say it.
It means that two different parts of them are synonyms or redundant. For example, Mississippi comes from Mississippi, an Ojibwa word for big river. So it's technically big, big river. And La Brea means the tar in Spanish, giving you the tartar pits.
And tartar pits?
Yeah. Because La Brea, okay, it's La Brea tar pits, and La Brea means the tar. So therefore, La Brea tar pits is the tar.
Oh, redundancy. Mm-hmm. I got it. Well, thank you, Allison. She comes up with these little quizzes for me, and I usually get about a D minus. She won't tell me what they are. I say, well, why don't you tell me a little bit? No. Refuses to tell me.
Sometimes I give you hints.
Sometimes you can? Okay.
Sometimes I give you hints.
Oh, that's true. You do. No, it's not an air raid. Don't get too concerned about it. But this is the Bill and Allison Woke Alert. We find the goofiest thing we can find of the woke culture and present it to you. There's a lot of... One nice thing about the wokies is that they provide a lot of fodder. A lot of humorous stuff. A lot of comic relief. Well, the latest one, New York Times opinion piece says there is, quote, a time and a place for cannibalism. It's just they say it's now thinkable.
Wow.
Thinkable. But, you know, because it's the radical left, they just can't help themselves. You know, they move cannibalism from unthinkable to thinkable. And you know why?
No.
Oh, because of the New York Times says it's because of due to the, quote, pandemic, climate change. Of course, everything is climate change. School shootings and years of political cacophony. Whoa. That's a $5 word there. Uh-huh. Confusion, whatever. But that's what they say. That's why we need to look at cannibalism. However,
so because now, we get so upset, we're supposed to eat each other.
There you go.
Is that it?
That'll calm things down in the society. won't that just be a producer of calmness in the society? But science, of course, is now being used to defend cannibalism. This article in the New York Times wants to make us, quote, rethink our repulsion toward eating other people. We did mention before, trust in science is collapsing. A few minutes ago, we talked about one reason we gave is a story. Story that we covered just a few minutes ago. Cancer researchers at Harvard have been accused of scientific fraud affecting 37 studies, manipulating data images with Photoshop and copy and paste. And Harvard Medical School is retracting, an affiliate of it is retracting scientific studies that were published by its top researchers who are faking it. Cancer research, they're faking. So trust in science is collapsing. Probably the same people who were... We're advocating for cannibalism might have been doing that cancer research. So apparently there's no other pressing issues for scientists to tackle. So in their idle time, they begin contemplating eating each other. I mean, this sounds like something Gary Larson wrote, you know, of Far Side.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, okay. To even talk about cannibalism without throwing up. Choosing to consume another human being means one thing. Either you're on a plane that crashed in the Andes, you know, and people die, and that's what died, and that's what happened. So it means one thing, that, or it means civilization has collapsed. I mean, when you're seriously talking about cannibalism, civilization is collapsed. So that's your New York Times for you. rethink cannibalism. Is there no level of which they will not descend? How low can society go? How low can these elite, so-called elite thinkers, New York Times and Harvard and the rest of them, how low can they get? Scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, in high places. We are, in other words, we are wrestling against demon-influenced people. I mean, if you don't believe that, just look around. There is evil, and to deny it is ridiculous, short-sighted. The Word of God says we are wrestling against demons in human form. They're not all conscious of that. Most of them probably aren't, but they're certainly influenced. If you've ever read any of Frank Peretti's books, and if you haven't, I certainly recommend it, Allison. I love those books. This Present Darkness is one, and he's written a couple of others, where that brings that home. They're novels. They're easy to read, and they're fascinating. You won't be able to put them down. And it really makes it very clear what's going on in society today. Another would be C.S. Lewis's book. He has what's called a Space Trilogy. It's three books. I try to reread them every few years. Out of the Silent Planet is the first one. Perelandra is the second. And That Hideous Strength is the third book. And it is prescient. It is, again, explains a lot of what is going on in the world and who is behind it. Anyway, that's our woke alert. They're talking about cannibalism now. What's next? It's hard to predict, isn't it? The problem is, you know, like the Babylon Bee says, everything we parody and joke about, make up, comes true the next week.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So it's tough for them. Well, another car maker has backed away from electric vehicles. And the question people are asking, is the electric car trend over? You know, it was all the rage for a while. Everybody was talking about it. The electric car was basically how people viewed the iPhone when it first came out. But the thrill is gone. We should have had that song. Just like the wow factor of the iPhone, you know. Hey, phone number 38 is coming out. Well, big deal, you know. So we're seeing a trend across the board from Tesla to Mercedes-Benz and declining sales. There was a story a few days ago. Almost half, I think it's 46% of Buick dealers across the country are dropping the Buick line from their line of cars that they sell because Buick is pushing electric vehicles so much, and they're saying, car dealers say, we can't sell them. They're expensive. They, you know, the battery costs more than the car is worth to replace. They catch on fire. You out in the middle of nowhere and your electric vehicle dies. What, somebody going to bring you a bucket of electricity? So we're seeing a trend across the board from Tesla, Mercedes-Benz, Buick, and declining sales. Recently, Mercedes-Benz announced it's reversing its goal to be all electric in 6 years and focusing on gas-powered vehicles. Business Insider reported that Mercedes-Benz said in 2021 it planned to be all electric by 2030. Now, Mercedes-Benz walked that back during an earnings call this week. A fourth quarter statement from Mercedes said electric vehicle sales in 2030 will be more like 50% of its fleet, not all electric by 2030. The company said it would allow customers' demands to set the pace for how much of its fleet will be electric or gas. Well, what a concept, Allison. A company that's actually going to let the consumer decide what they make. Yeah, I believe that's called free enterprise, mm-hmm. But they may not have heard of that. I don't know. Anyway, Mercedes expects its EV sales to account for about 19 to 21% of new car sales this year, not the 50% that they claimed it would be. And Mercedes, as we mentioned, isn't the only automaker that's reevaluating its electric vehicle plans. Consumer demand for electric vehicles has cooled. Aha, everybody knows that. As shoppers look for more affordable options and struggle with the lifestyle changes required to own a car that needs charging. You know, in California, they say, oh, we're going to get rid of all gas-powered vehicles, but the only electric. And the next breath, they say, please don't use electricity. We're just too much demand on the grid.
Well, that's California they're doing this.
Yeah, California, exactly. So, you know, it's crazy. EVs are sitting on Car lots a lot longer than regular gas-powered cars. The figure's 25% longer, not to mention, as I mentioned, the exploding, catching on fire at any moment factor that comes with electric vehicles.
Details.
Imagine this. Imagine if we lived in a world where all cars were electric vehicles. And then along comes a new invention, the internal combustion engine. Think about how well they would sell. A vehicle half the weight, half the price that will almost quarter the damage done to the road. A vehicle that can be refueled in one-tenth of the time and has a range of up to four times the distance in all weather conditions. It does not rely on the environmentally damaging use of non-renewable rare earth elements mined by slave labor to power it. Uses far less steel and other materials. Just think how excited people would be for such technology. It would sell like hotcakes. And those are called the internal combustion engine, my friends.
Well, I thought you had something else.
Well, that was it. I do. I'm sorry. You are absolutely. I'm wrong and you're right. We thought you'd enjoy this little audio bit on electric vehicles.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has announced that all cars sold in California must be electric by 2035. In completely unrelated news, California officials called on all residents to stop charging electric cars due to an insufficient power grid. Across the state, people are scrambling to charge the electric cars they now have, some using gas-powered generators, and some using the power of imagination. And now our Woman on the Street interviewer goes to an interview with a woman on the street.
Oh, I'm not too worried about that. I'm 100% for green energy. I love that my electric car runs completely on renewable energy.
Doesn't it run on electricity that comes from coal plants?
Well, just until the power plants convert, I think.
What about the environmental destruction that comes from mining the lithium? Not to mention the environmental destruction that comes from disposing of the 1,000-pound batteries that need to be replaced every 15 years.
Well, I don't know about that lithium stuff.
Meanwhile, auto manufacturers are scrambling to make cars that will meet the state standards by the 2035 deadline. Toyota has announced its new wind-up model of the popular Yaris. Just give it a few twists, hop in, and away she goes. With a range of up to 10 feet, the wind-up Yaris is a promising option for people who need to get from one side of the parking lot to the other. Chevrolet is taking a different approach, with the 2023 horse and buggy debuting next year. This little beauty boasts both a 1 and 2 horsepower model, depending on how many horses you have. Its advanced eco-friendly technology allows the car to be powered entirely by Carat. California is sticking to its guns and insisting that the grid will be ready by 2035. In the meantime, the state has recommended citizens with electric cars run on a giant hamster wheel to charge them. Reporting from our studio in Los Angeles, I'm... Ah, not again. Has anyone got a flashlight? Cell phone? Jar of fireflies? No one? All right, I guess I'll just go home.
That was good.
Isn't that great? Yeah, kind of brings it home, doesn't it? Yeah, kind of brings it home. Well, let's see what we got. We got so much to talk about. What do you got, Allison? I see you've got some papers in front of you.
Do you think the United States has too many Springfields? Some are saying so after a tragic mix-up recently involving two different Springfields and Trader Joe's.
Springfields? What?
A Springfield is a city.
Oh, the name of a town.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Last week, or recently, a newspaper in Springfield, Missouri, wrote that a Trader Joe's was coming to the city after a Trader Joe's spokesman confirmed plans to open a new store in Springfield. But shortly after, the spokesperson had to apologize, saying she thought the paper was in Springfield, Virginia, where the store is actually opening. In a major disappointment to the Missouri Springfieldians, who had long requested a Trader Joe's.
Wow.
Okay, this brings up an opportunity to point out that Springfield is not the most common city name in the U.S. That would be Franklin, which surprised me, followed by Clinton, Madison, and Washington in a three-way tie for second.
Hmm.
According to the U.S. Postal Service.
Well, well. Did not know that. There are a lot of Springfields when you think about it. In fact, TV shows often, will have a name. I think there was a Leave It to Beaver or something, one of those shows, Father Knows Best. They all lived in Springfield. They never told you the state. So you could sort of, they figure a lot of people would relate to that.
Yeah, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Good theory.
Well, on a more serious note, if you haven't read the book Blood Money by Peter Schweitzer, you need to read it. It's now number one on Amazon bestseller. Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. In it, Schweitzer reveals how Chinese companies, which are heavily regulated by the Chinese government and usually a partner of the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist government, are flooding the United States with auto sear switches, not automobile. But these are for guns. It's a small metal device, also known as Glock switches. They can convert handguns into machine guns. They're illegal for most gun owners in the U.S., but are shipped in boxes by the thousands from China, according to the book Blood Money. As with fentanyl, the Chinese government is sending the auto sear switches to sow chaos and death inside the United States as part of what they call disintegration warfare strategy. It's focuses on in the leaders of Chinese leaders. This is from Chinese documents that Schweitzer was able to obtain. Disintegration warfare is going after the United States' soft underbelly in terms of politics, economics, and the spirit and psychology of its people, unquote. It's based on the ancient Chinese strategist and general Sun Tzu's teachings on how to win a war without fighting. The strategy is aimed at undermining a rival country's national will, values, and cohesion. And in the book Blood Money, Schweitzer uses leaked U.S. federal law enforcement documents to reveal how China is trying to arm felons and criminal gangs across the United States with these auto sear switches. Now, these devices, if you're not familiar with a Glock switch, they're about the size of a penny. And they're illegal in the United States, except for use by law enforcement officers and a select group of other people. But these criminals in the U.S. purchase them illegally from China via Chinese websites that are in English and target Americans with them. There's been a rise between 2019 and 2021, a rise of 4,200% in incidents involving machine gun fire in 130 American cities. And Chinese producers are shipping them to Mexico, smuggling them across the border via illegals coming across the border, where they eventually end up in the hands, of course, of gangs and felons and drug dealers. Drug cartels in Mexico are starting to manufacture the devices themselves using machines provided by Chinese companies. In the book Blood Money, Schweitzer writes, quote, "This is a strikingly similar replay of the Chinese government's strategy with fentanyl. When U.S. authorities successfully began blocking shipments sent from China via mail or parcel, Chinese sellers switched to a land bridge in Mexico to continue supplying these devices to criminals in the United States. This is delivery saturation around the United States," quote. And cities such as St. Louis continue to devolve into war zones. In 2021, the ATF reported 66 incidents in St. Louis of full automatic gunfire. The next year, there were 339. And Chinese companies are also importing silencers into the United States. In the past 3 years, federal officials have picked up an astonishing almost 43,000 gun silencers arriving from China. Those are the only ones that they found. How many more got through? And finally, the Daily Mail quotes East Baton Rouge, Louisiana District Attorney Hilar Moore. He said, quote, "We're seeing Glock switches used all over the place, whether it's murder, attempted murder, witness intimidation, shooting up a neighborhood or shooting up houses. In the last 2 years, Hilar's office has seen over 80 criminal cases involving Glock switches." And Schweitzer is the president who wrote Blood Money, the president of the Government Accountability Institute. He says American politicians are doing very little to counter these practices. Well, we know why, don't we, Allison? We know how Biden is tied to the Chinese. He's paid off by the Chinese. How Mitch McConnell is paid off by the Chinese. There is, Allison, you came up with speculation.
Oh, no, you shouldn't.
You did.
Yeah, but you shouldn't say it on the radio.
Well,
we can talk about it at home.
Okay, all right.
And amongst our friends.
Okay, talk among ourselves. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll miss that. But anyway, McConnell is tied up with his wife, Elaine Chao, who runs a huge business, or her family runs a huge business in China that is tied to the Communist Party. So he doesn't want to criticize the communists. But Schweitzer says no American president has appeared to have brought this up with Beijing in his consultations with the president of China. President Biden has pressed for gun restrictions on ordinary Americans, but has never publicly discussed this problem where criminal elements are gaining access to machine guns in the United States, courtesy of Chinese manufacturers' illegal shipments. Kentucky, where Mitch McConnell is from, represents in the Senate, is home to two of the top business cargo airports in the country where many of the devices are shipped. But McConnell has been silent on the subject. While American politicians want to restrict American gun manufacturers, they are not taking China to task. Schweitzer wrote, U.S. political leaders are more focused on going after American gun manufacturers, producing a legal product for millions of Americans, than cracking down on Chinese companies catering to and further weaponizing criminal gangs in the United States. As with drug warfare, China is attempting to incite civil unrest in the United States, weaken the U.S. by fomenting division, by putting weapon-enhancing technologies into the hands of felons and criminal gangs, but also fueling social division on U.S. streets. So there, blood money, why the powerful turn a blind eye while China kills Americans. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and lots of other sites. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. It just came out. Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills America. When we first met and one of our first dates, she said, we're talking about our families and all, and you know how you do on a first date, just kind of get to know each other a little bit. And I told her a little bit about my parents and my grandfather and grandmothers and grandfather's grandmothers. And she mentioned that her grandfather was Sam Walton. So, of course, the next words out of my mouth were, will you marry me? It was only after we were married, I discovered that the Walton family from Arkansas decided to go their own way. To leave Bentonville, Arkansas, and go to Oklahoma to become dirt farmers. Guess which side of the family Allison came from?
but my grandfather was Sam Walton.
Well, Sam Walton, that's his name, and there is a relationship there. But we don't know exactly what the relationship is. Obviously not enough to file a lawsuit against the
state. Not enough to get me in the will.
Exactly. Well, good. Well, today is the birthday of Frédéric Chopin. He was born in 1810 and passed away in 1849, so he didn't live very long. He was only 39 years old. And actually, Chopin, many people say he died of a broken heart because his sister passed away, his younger sister died, and he then died at age 39. So we're not sure, but there's some speculation of that.
Well, an elephant can die from a broken heart.
That's true. Yeah, an elephant can. Mm-hmm. But he was not an elephant. He was a man, a Polish pianist and composer. Now, you may say, well, I don't know anything about Chopin. Well, I bet you know this will be very familiar to you. Frédéric Chopin. Happy birthday, Fred. Friedrich Chopin, born 1810 on this day. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths.